Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Parenting Hour. We're tuned into Unity FM 93.5 here in Birmingham and 105.1 down south. Welcome to everybody here this Tuesday afternoon on a very special day indeed, a special few days because we're celebrating Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Mental Health Day. We're here this evening talking about that and acknowledging the importance of fathers in the family. We hear a lot about mothers, and especially from the Islamic perspective, we hear about paradise being under the feet of mothers and how they are respected and the rewards they're going to get. But we don't often hear about fathers as much. So today we're going to focus on fathers and really congratulate and celebrate your role today. That's what this show is all about. And I have with me two wonderful experts to talk about this. I have Jeremy with me that was here a few weeks ago, if you remember, talking about infant mental health. And then Saeed, who is also going to be contributing to the session today from his perspective as a counsellor and from his Islamic knowledge as well. So welcome to you both. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome, Jeremy and Saeed.
Hello.
Salam. Thank you, Kathleen Alexandra. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, thank you for coming on board and giving up your time again to be on the show. And both of you, as dads as well, congratulations. I should congratulate both of you first because it's your time. It's your. I'm sorry when you have a day or a couple of days for you, but you know, for me and my family, the father, the role model there is very important in our family. And I feel it's a partnership, being a mom and dad are in partnership together. But not all families are the same. So I wanted to kind of put focus on dads today and the importance of dads. So maybe if we start about that, why are dads important in a family?
Well, I don't know, Saeed, if that's okay if I sort of
Absolutely.
I think, as you say, Kathleen, that that dads are important, but they're also very much part of a team. The roles, I guess, as far as fathers go at the outset, they may feel rather marginalised and also ill-equipped, in as much as everything happens as far as mums are concerned, and dads seem to have much less of an active role at the outset. And that can lead to all sorts of things, because I think in Australia it was that they did a survey and they found that new dads tended to present more in A&E than they did, or men that were new fathers would tend to present. And they discovered that dads felt so inept and would distance themselves from the sort of task that was with the baby and would try and do jobs that had been put off for an awful long time and tended to fall off ladders and things like that. So that becoming a father is a very challenging exercise.
Why do you think that is? Before I just go over to Saeed about that, why do you think it's challenging? Maybe Saeed can pick up on that as well.
Well, I think that becoming a parent in that sense is a very worrying thing. It's something that is quite wonderful, but then there's so many different things to worry about. How are the baby? How's mum? Are they going to be all right? Am I going to be all right? What kind of a father am I likely to be? Am I going to be as good or as different in that sense from the father that I've known in the past, or my grandfather? How am I going to manage? And it can lead to all sorts of different affects, because babies change people. So that the relationship, in that sense, between mum and dad, as was before they became parents, can be quite different. Babies can be very frightening. And that's what I think was being alluded to within that kind of study. The men, in that sense, tended to get rather frightened by the prospect of the task, and so would do something else to feel useful.
Do you find that's the same, Saeed, in talking in relation to our communities as well?
I think that there's lots of that, absolutely. I think often when the culture, when you know, we have a new baby in any family, you often get, you know, the women of the family will rally around. So you get, for example, a lot of visiting, a lot of people coming together to see the baby. Often men are on the periphery of that. And often, you know, women will come into the house and then, you know, the husband might be asked, you know, to leave or go somewhere, because obviously there's a lot of women, there's a lot of family, extended family visiting. So the husband does not have a role in that, in terms of bonding with the mother and the baby. And at the same time is expecting to kind of, as Jeremy said, you know, to process, you know, all this emotion, but all these changes are taking place and often people are left alone to do them, or they don't have often, you know, the template that will, or a blueprint that would enable them, because often it's been kind of generations and, you know, that have done the same thing. So often it's just following up, and then the gap happens, you know, from an early age where the child and the father are not bonded, they're not connecting. So that the relationship does not become based on love and connection, but often it becomes based on needs and meeting needs and just, you know, being able to do the things that are expected rather than based on the things that done by emotional connection. And I think that sometimes happens, and I can see that, you know, with a lot of people, you know, husbands and wife, when they come to for marriage counseling, for example, or often, you know, that the relationship started to break down, started when they had children, because, you know, one person or another will feel an element of neglect. Or, and at the same time as well, when we see in adulthood with older clients, you know, that a lot of the issues, you know, in terms of emotional or lack of emotional resiliency stems from childhood as well, and the connection they had with both parents, and especially with the father.
Absolutely. Yes, I was thinking, absolutely, the seat of an awful lot of difficulties lie in the way that things either get or don't get negotiated early on. And just coming back to Kathleen's question, I think at the heart of the task, that the father's role is really to kind of protect the passionate relationship between the mum and the baby, and to step in at times when because it's so intense that it's it may become overwhelming, so that to some degree the mum may need some protection from the baby, and at times that the baby may need some protection from mum. And in doing so, that the father opens up, introduces room into that relationship, introduces a new person, so that the passion in that sense can be slightly diluted or shifted. And in that sense, opening up a whole different kind of world, which then also brings in kind of gender as a kind of issue, because dads and daughters and mothers and sons have particularly passionate relationships. And sometimes that can be, it can be easier for mums to be comfortable with dads' relationships with sons, but they can become quite worried, or it can be worrying in that sense, of, because of the intensity of dads' relationships with daughters. They're all different forms of love affairs, really, aren't they, in many respects? But obviously very different from any kind of adult love affair, but love being something fundamental, emotional love in that sense, which is, nurturing love, which is so important for all of our relationships. And that development occurs in that context.
And I think that kind of feeds into the central point, which is kind of, you know, the relationship. So the seeds of the relationship, often we have, you know, fathers will come to me in therapy and say, well, you know, I lost connection with my son or my daughter. My son or daughter is 18. And, you know, they might be not, they're not listening. They're not, they're challenging me. And often you kind of, you have to take a step back and, what is happening now when the child is older is the symptoms of the difficulties, I guess, that started in childhood in terms of the connection and the relationship. And often I always go back and, you know, explore that and, you know, the relationship that they had with the child. And often if that is non-existent, then you can see the influence of the father might have on the child, or they would like to. It doesn't happen in adulthood, because obviously it has to be done from early age in terms of the connection and the love and the you know, the development of the relationship and the attachment.
Absolutely. I think that that's, there are so many things in there that would be good to think about further, including the way that children's development is so fast that it's difficult to keep up with. And parents in that sense have a tremendous job in trying to ensure that they manage the relationship so that they can allow children to express their growing capacities so that they, that they can engage, whilst also protecting them from risks of all sorts, including frustrating them, or frustrating risks, if that makes sense. Sorry, Kaid, I've lost my thread. Do you want to take
I agree completely. I think the other thing as well, which I think maybe we can move it a bit in terms of that, there's almost like how the relationship has to be kind of functioning in all aspects of the relationship. So where often the fathers will see, and I say to, you know, people will say to me that I'm done the right things by my family. I provided for them. I worked long hours. I, you know, put food on the table, which is really laudable and noble kind of thing to do, because obviously that's part of, even from our faith perspective, that, you know, the person who looks after their family, they'd be rewarded for their efforts, you know, whether it is, you know, in terms of the food, the security, the home, the everything that they provide. But often what also people crave, and children especially, you know, they crave that attention and connection. You know, sometimes I get people who will say, I was talking to someone recently who said, you know, my dad did everything for us, but I wish I had a closer relationship with him. I wish I could connect with him. I wish we did things together, you know, even playing, or maybe he spent time with us, because he couldn't spend that time because he was providing for us in a financial sense. But I wish he could provide it for us a bit more in an emotional sense. So I don't know what you think about that, Jeremy.
Well, yes, absolutely. I think so, that I guess the returning to the point that I was that I'd managed to lose, that, for instance, well, children's development in that sense is something to behold, but going through various stages. So infancy is a very, very full, moving very quickly from being a baby into a toddler into, and at every stage being very sophisticated as a little being. But then in adolescence, adolescence resembles that infancy in the sense of there's so much physical growth. And it's an ordinarily disruptive period as far as relationships go, because the child in that sense is growing into a young adult. And the transition in that sense is very painful. There's a need to separate. And the intensity of those dependent relationships is very strong, ordinarily. And loss is a very difficult thing to bear. It's a different form of anxiety. The anxiety earlier on is, how are we going to be able to survive? Is everything going to be all right? Is everybody going to turn out all right? And as you say, dads can get very kind of fixated in a role that takes them away from the heart of their ambitions, really, their aspirations, which are their children and their family and their relationship and building within the community. And there's a need for a balance, which is really difficult to find. But mums in that sense feature very, very strongly, naturally, as far as the children are concerned. And dads have to find a way of negotiating that means that they're able to resist kind of competition which may naturally arise, because babies in that sense evoke an awful lot of feelings. For instance, you know, if the baby in that sense is much more comfortable with mum, and dad finds it more difficult to settle them, then there may be a sense that for dads, for instance, that the baby doesn't necessarily really like them or trust them. And of course, that's not true. But there is a lot of exploration which is going on in the ordinary to's and fro's of emotional life. And in that sense, mums and dads have to find their way. There's no right or wrong. There's just more or less helpful.
Thank you for that. And I know culture came up a couple of times there, and you know, dads needing to learn about this, or maybe learning from their parents of how to interact with children, and culturally wise, they think that they should go and put food on the table, etc., which is important, as we say, but haven't kind of learned those connections culturally wise. Is that the same? And I'll go to Saeed for this, the same as Islamic perspectives. So is the culture and Islam saying the same message, or do we have different messages there coming from Islamic perspective?
Absolutely. I think it's really important to make the distinction between Islam and culture, because what culture often is people kind of, you know, cultural values, but often kind of confusing that with Islam, because Islam will say that the roles of men and women are complementary in this sense. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, you know, whoever does good, male or female, we will reward them for the best of what they do. And this means that the roles are not competing against one another, but they complement one another. So when we think from an Islamic perspective, is the sense of collaboration is at the heart of the marriage in terms of the relationship. Because what Islam seeks from parents is to provide for that child the best environment for that child to grow as a righteous person, you know, to achieve their aspirations in life. And the only way we can do that is by the functionality of the relationship between the parents in a cohesive way, and also in an equal manner, that maybe the roles are different, but they contribute to the same outcome, which is to nurture that child in the right way and to bring him into the world as a righteous person, or he or she. And from that sense, both will be rewarded for the things they do. So as the verse said in the Quran, that they will be rewarded equally for the things they do. And then when we look to the life of the Prophet, you know, who's our role model, that in his lifetime he would, you know, help around the house, he will support his family, so he will milk the goats or mend his own, you know, sandals, or he would sweep the house, or for example, you know, if a food was brought to him and if he didn't like the food, you know, he would just say, you know, thank you, he would say alhamdulillah, you know, praise be to Allah. And he would not kind of, you know, he would understand that, you know, there are constraints, that the mother might be under pressure. Or so sometimes, because when we look to culture, there are expectations, you know, if the wife's role is to do this, then it's almost like become a transaction kinds of things to do. And then the father, and then the roles become kind of competing against one another. So from an Islamic perspective, is to bring it back to what Allah wants from us. And he wants us to have, you know, when you talk about the life of in the household, is about based on mercy, based on love, based on bonding. So in the verse, the verse that talks about marriage, and Allah said, when from his signs, we have created for you spouses from amongst yourselves, and created amongst you and between you, you know, love and mercy. So you will be thoughtful towards one another. So this is how to be thoughtful about the role. And think about it in a way that we always have empathy with one another. We're trying to develop mercy and kindness. So we show that, as you know, to one another, and that can filter through to the children as they are growing up in that environment.
I would say that there's so much that you've said there, Saeed, that is at the heart of development, you know, from any perspective. Because the relationship in that sense is the context in which everything occurs, where children's development, in which children's emotional development occurs. Mm. And absolutely, those are the kinds of aims that that need to be aspired to. I guess I was referring to some of the challenges that may come within that kind of process.
Absolutely.
And they are very strong challenges. What you've the kind of framework that you've talked about there, sort of thing, is precisely what children do need, in the sense of the balance between parents who are able to appreciate one another and find all of those qualities that you've mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. I appreciate that, really. I agree with you, Jeremy, that it is important. Is absolutely, there are challenges in everything, you know, any kind of human development or journey that we undertake, you know, whether is having children or any process of change that we go in life always will present us with challenge. And yes. I guess the key is how we adapt to that challenge within that framework and still hold on to our values of precisely. Kindness, of compassion, yeah. and collaboration with one another. And I guess not allowing the changes to become the difficulty, then they take us away from our values and our essence of being in the relationship in terms of the confinements of marriage and also any kind of, you know, human relationship or connection.
Yes, I guess that the ordinary course of things includes adjusting to so much over time that it sometimes can feel as if nothing is particularly stable for very long. That, you know, particularly very early on, or there's a very strong taste of it early on, that when you get used to the very tiny baby and all of a sudden you find that you're with somebody else. Not that the baby has been swapped, but that the qualities that they bring mean that they're quite different from how they used to be. And then there's a question of, well, where did my little baby go? Because I was just getting used to them. And the difficulty that those kinds of changes are hard to negotiate. So the kind of challenges it's in bearing anxiety, really, isn't it?
And does the anxiety, Jeremy, come from kind of because of the attachment that is developed in early on, and then that attachment, that bond, when that bond is broken or is not there, you know, that can cause also anxiety, you know, for everyone concerned.
I think the anxiety is in the infant at the outset, because the infant is born. And the infant, in that sense, is looking for a connection, as you've mentioned previously. But they haven't got the kind of experience, well, they have an experience which is very intimate of being in the womb. And that's where emotional development begins. But then when the great caesura of birth occurs, then they are in a quite different environment. And in that sense, the baby has of such vulnerability that that very ordinary kind of experiences assume much greater proportions. So, for instance, if you have a pain in your tummy and you have no real previous experience of it, or you do but it was very, very frightening and overwhelming, then there may be such a sense of threat that this is a kind of storm of some sort, which mum may be able to negotiate quite easily by you know, thinking, well, my goodness, that baby's hungry, and then that takes the pain away. But then the parents, in that sense, have to manage the anxiety that distress that comes with the pain brings. And of course, babies cry an awful lot. It's their first language, in that sense, to bring people to me and to try and comfort me. Fathers that have a very strong role in relation to that, but at the same time it may not necessarily be direct. It may be in bearing the anxiety that something isn't quite right, which is what the baby's crying about, and that mum may not be immediately able to settle or satisfy that need within the baby, and mums and dads have to try and negotiate that, which, you know, brings with it a great deal of challenge, as you've also mentioned. Being merciful when you're very frightened takes a great deal of strength and a great deal of generosity too.
Absolutely, and then that's when the rewards come. You know, as Sister Kathleen mentioned at the start, you know, we believe that, you know, heaven is underneath the feet of the mother. And at the same time, also the father has immense rewards in terms of when they're nurturing their children in the right way and having that connection, whether it's in this life or the hereafter. It's about kind of allowing, you know, them to themselves to see, you know, beyond the current challenge or circumstances, that, you know, whatever we do it with a sense of purpose and with a sense of intention and attention. And that's when I guess we can develop a sense of perspective on what we're going through, if we always have a sense of purpose about what we do and how we do it and why we do it. And I think that's really important to always remember, that whatever you do, you'll be immensely rewarded for it, and you'll be immensely whether it's through your children in your lifetime or in your or life after death, as we believe as Muslims, that you know nothing we do will go in vain. You know, everything has a purpose and has a reward.
Absolutely, and I guess within that kind of experience, because that's a wonderful overview. I guess in the midst of it, sometimes it can feel quite bewildering. Yeah, and it's good to know. In some ways, I guess there's a competition sometimes between the idea that things are changing, so it's not always going to be like this. We're in the really challenging times, and then also alongside of that, that my goodness, this is wonderful. This is so beautiful.
And with that so beautiful phrase, I'm afraid we're going to have to go into a commercial break. It's got a lovely discussion we're having here, and I'm really feeling so privileged to be here with you both. But unfortunately, it will click in the commercial break, so we have to take that commercial break now. But we will come back, listeners, to us after this commercial break, and do tune back to us again for more of this wonderful discussion, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to Parenting Hour. You're tuned into Unity FM 93.5 and 105.1 down south. My name is Kathleen, and I'm with Jeremy and Saeed here this evening celebrating Father's Day and Father's Mental Health Week, talking all about fathers with two wonderful fathers who have just set such a great foundation to the first half of the show about dads and where dads should be and how to nurture that relationship. And what came out of that, I would like kind of to follow up on about little boys and babies becoming little boys become big boys and then become men. How can we help that journey with those little boys becoming men?
I think that's such a good question. I think that memory is a very mixed thing in an awful lot of ways, as far as being able to think about experience and draw from it. And for some dads, there may be a real challenge in their development, coming from little boys into big boys, as you say, into becoming men and dads in their own right. And as much as their foundation experience may not have gone as well as others, or as they may have hoped. And reflecting upon that then may bring some worry about how am I going to manage? And I guess in ordinary development, when things go well, that's an issue at times, because in contingent moments when we don't have time to think, then we will draw upon our experience, and we may find ourselves saying something and then thinking, oh my goodness, that's my mother speaking, or gosh, that's my dad. And I guess certainly the word attachment is often used, and it really refers to safety and security and feeling that we are okay within ourselves. Adolescence brings with it lots of anxieties about not necessarily being right in ourselves, and we may express that in the way that we behave, and we may give our parents an awful lot to worry about in thinking about how we're going to turn out, which of course matches our own anxieties about what the future may hold, and the need to be able to separate. Trauma is something which is also mentioned an awful lot. And the earlier the adversity in many ways, then the more profound the impact may be. And that goes with the degree of dependence within a relationship. So a baby is often felt not to be particularly alive or in touch with what's going on. And in actual fact, the opposite is true, that babies are intensely sensitive. And in that sense, those kinds of early memories may come back in ways that challenge those dads who have not had such a good beginning in greater ways than others. And that may include, for instance, where relationships are not viable, or they break down, so that there may be quite a number of single dads about. And those single dads may have had dads that were single themselves, or they may be, they may have cause in that sense to reflect upon things and then think, well, everything's not going to plan, whatever that plan may have been. Generally, people enter into relationships for very positive reasons. So when they don't, or when they're not able to continue, then that's something which is generally quite troubling. And it may raise an awful lot of questions for those dads, and particularly those dads whose dads also struggled with the same kind of issues and they have not been resolved. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Saeed.
Yeah, thank you, Jeremy. I think it's really important. I mean, I agree with you completely. I think the kind of the various developmental stages that we go through as human beings require different levels of or kind of attachment and stability. And I kind of, looking from a faith perspective, you know, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, you know, a baby is born on the fitrah, which in Arabic, the fitrah is a primordial kind of nature that the person is born upon. And then the parents, obviously, influence will shape, you know, the way that child, you know, direction in life. So it's a huge responsibility in that sense. And I guess, looking at it from that perspective and looking at the template that we develop in our children, so is how we revert. I mean, you mentioned, Jeremy, that even that intergenerational kind of, you know, even trauma, for example, or templates that, because one person maybe inherited that kind of from a parent that who, you know, wasn't a single parent, or but it's how we help ourselves and help one another, so we build that healthy template. Yes. In our children. So it's how we come to a sense of kind of almost we both our, as you know, there might be areas sometimes where there's conflict or there might be kind of issues about separation, but it's how we put that side aside for the best interest of the children sometimes. And I think that's really important, so we don't add to the trauma and yes. exacerbate it even more.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, as you say, that having the courage to think is easy to say, but very difficult at times
Absolutely.
To do.
Absolutely, yeah.
When we become rather challenged, the anxieties in that sense tend to encourage us to act rather than think. Mm. I think that it's important to think about the similarities between anxiety and anger, or the close relationship, rather, in as much as people that frighten us generally make us cross. Mm. And so the aggression that comes out in behaviour is often an expression of anxiety. Mm. And anxiety in relationships is a currency. It's there all of the time. And it's really, really important to try to think about that anxiety and how it might encourage us to behave, and how we may be tempted at times to take flight into either activity or, you know, work, for instance, as you mentioned before, Saeed, that the importance of maintaining that balance. Or at times, if we get so anxious and we become overwhelmed, then we may become rather angry, and that anger in that sense may deeply impact upon a relationship, and particularly when children are very, very young, that kind of aggression may be very disturbing, particularly for very small children and babies. And as an observation, which is important to bring into play, I guess, is how the intensity of the relationship between particularly mum and baby means that if anything happens to mum, then the baby feels it too. And that's really important to think about when trying to regulate ourselves. Mm. And I think previously, say, you talk about respect. And it's interesting, it would be interesting to think further about how that develops within a relationship. Mm. Because there's often a sense that, well, that should be in place. It should be there, or it's a sign of something which is healthy. But in order to reach it, there's a need for relationships to be really explored in order to be understood. It's the understanding which leads to respect.
And absolutely. And I agree with it completely. And I think sometimes people, when people are going through kind of these difficulties or anger or challenge or anxiety, if we only take a little bit, step back a bit from the situation and develop a sense of patience, you know, even with ourselves, but also with others, and try to understand. Often when we have that pressure, we want to be able to understand us. But often I always say to people, it's always better if you seek to understand before you are understood. Sometimes also the other person might be suffering too, you know, and maybe going, you know, through their own struggles. So it's how we seek to understand them too and develop a sense of empathy. So as you said, you know, for example, the mother might be going through sometimes postnatal depression, might be going through other all sorts of things that can impact, as well as the father. The father also might have his own you know, journey that he's going through, his own challenge. So is that partnership, and also kind of saying, okay, how can we support one another for the benefit of that baby who's going to be influenced and impacted by our own kind of anxieties and our own behavior? And I guess when we have, you know, and I always, as good, Sister Kathleen talked about, you know, the courses and even like, you know, that approach for parenting do, you know, even prenatal. So it's almost thinking about the baby and bringing the baby into the world and thinking, how can equipped with the tools that can enable us to manage the developmental process, whether it's through prenatal, a postnatal, and then in early childhood, and then in early kind of developmental stages, and then to, you know, the teenager. So in our courses, we always think about, you know, 7 + 7 + 7. So you think about those, you know, until the person is 21. So how we kind of create that environment for the parents to, as you said, have that sense of attachment and environment where they can.
Yes. Oops, Aid. I think we've gone a bit there. I was just I wanted to pick up on certainly the struggle that mum may be negotiating, and how in that sense living with depression can be very depressing, and that postnatal depression in dads is something that needs to be taken quite seriously too.
And
a real issue with depression is often the person who's suffering is has a great sense of isolation, a great sense of loss in relation to the world, and the loss of that connection that you mentioned earlier. In that sense, there's a distance that opens up in relationships. For the sufferer, there may be a sense that something is irrevocably damaged, something that can't be repaired. And the rub is, it's their fault. So that if they were to begin to talk about it, then they may just invite condemnation. And it's very, very difficult, but it takes tremendous courage to be able to begin to acknowledge and to try to find somebody who may be trusted in order to be able to begin to think about those kinds of things.
And that's really important, because it's a part of our faith that we recognize our emotions and our, you know, when we're going through challenge or difficulty or change, you know, the Prophet, peace be upon him, when he lost his son, he lost his children before he passed away, but one of his sons, Ibrahim, when he was just taking his last breath and he was hugging him, and the people said, oh, even you, O Prophet of Allah, you know, you're upset. And he said, yes, it is a mercy, you know, the emotion that we have in our hearts. And he said, you know, the eyes become tearful and the heart becomes broken and sad. And we only say what is pleasing to our Lord, you know. So he recognized his own emotions and showed to the world that, you know, he's a human being, that we all have feelings and emotions. And I think sometimes a step in the right direction is to recognize, you know, whether the suffering that people are going through, whether it's the father or the mother, in terms of the relationship, you know, that the people going through bereavement and loss, and how can we create supportive environments rather than kind of to make it kind of adversary, kind of, you know, that he did this, you did this, and we will become kind of, you know, fractious and to the detriment of the children often.
Yes, I think that there's also a real need for dads to if it's possible, to be able to talk to other dads about their experience. Men are not very good at
technology.
We're somewhat slow in comparison to women, I think, in relation to acknowledging feelings, and often we will avoid them. But certainly for single dads, it's extremely important in that sense to be able to link up and to find as much in the way of support in the community within whatever networks that may be available. And I guess the other thing is just thinking about grandfathers and how they may also be a resource for their children. It may be difficult at times because as parents, we're always learning. And that doesn't stop when our children grow up. As grandparents, we continue to learn. And our children can teach us an enormous amount if we're only in the position to be able to accept what it is that we are being taught. And that balance, in that sense, can be achieved as a richness of a potential within the relationship between a grandfather and a father as a son who's a father in their own right, to be able to provide something which is, it's beyond value in many respects as far as children and their development is concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. I think is the whole kind of, if we look at the whole structure of the family around how to support, you know, parents and their roles. And Sister Kathleen was doing a talk yesterday and she mentioned that, you know, someone said that he needs a whole village, you know, to raise a child. And that's so true.
Absolutely.
In the sense of, you know, in kind of regardless of, you know, where people come from, we know, you know, the Prophet ﷺ, he's, you know, in his own lifetime, he would, you know, look after his own grandchildren. So Al-Hasan al-Hussein, he will pick them up and he will take them and he will kiss them and he will show them the affection, you know, to demonstrate their place in the world. And he would he's pick up his granddaughter and he will carry her on his back to show to men that, you know, whether you have a son or a daughter, you know, we treat them equally in terms of the love and the affection we give to the children, and because it's so essential at that early stage. So the more parents can be supported, you know, and dads especially, I agree with you completely that often men kind of don't talk about the issues and they suffer an isolation. So, for example, in some cultures, you will have, you know, when the woman gives birth, you know, the family and the extended family will support the mother for 40 days, you know, that she doesn't have to do anything, cooking, cleaning. They will pamper her, look after her, you know, take care of her completely. And often also I used to think about those cultures, you know, what happens to the father? You know, is he kind of kicked out of the house? Or what happened to him? Or is he going to do his own thing? So how does he process his emotions and feelings? So it's really important what you said, Jeremy, is about creating that supportive networks where people can talk and share stories and support one another. And I think men find it easier to talk to other men rather than talk to, you know, the family or other members of the family.
Absolutely. I think that's it's a really interesting question about what happens to men in those 40 days. But I wonder if one of the things that they may be being taught is how to bear not knowing, and which is a really difficult thing to do in life. And also beginning to think about how they might come to know. So come to know their partner as a mother, as opposed to the partner that they were. And also how do they come to know their baby in the role, which is very different to what they were doing before. And it's the coming to know, which is so central to all relationships as they grow. Because as far as children are concerned, then it's really important that they're able to come to know their mother and particularly their father in that sense too. And coming to know means finding out how do you work, how do you tick. And so you need to be poked and prodded in various ways that can be rather painful. And also in that sense can hold up a mirror to you so that your children in that sense may show you a great deal of how you appear to the world. And at times that may bring with it messages that are not particularly welcome. I don't want to be thought about as like this, or I don't want to appear like that. It offers opportunities in that sense to address some of those concerns. But the children in that sense may not be thanked at times for bringing those things into the open. And again, it's important in that sense to have the courage to think in the moment rather than simply to react, to reflect upon what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, from a faith perspective, we believe that, you know, everything we go through in life, whether it's goodness or a negative experience, is a test for us in terms of how we react. So, you know, Prophet, peace be upon him, said, you know, it is amazing the affairs of the believer. If he or she is given, you know, tested with difficulty, then they show patience, and that's better for them. Is about how to develop that sense of allowing our character and goodness and our character to come to the surface. And then he said, if they are giving glad tidings or goodness, then they show gratitude, and that's better for them. So in every sense of the word, whether it is we're going through good time or bad time, is how we react in the right way to our situation and try to demonstrate the best that we have to offer. But as you said, Jeremy, earlier, it's very difficult because human nature often will take us away from, you know, our values or what we... Or doing the right thing, because often it's very difficult to, you know, when you're thinking on your feet, to kind of, you know, allow the emotion to be pushed aside, or to recognize the emotion, not to push it aside, but to recognize it and to put it in a perspective that will allow us to respond in a good way. But often the anger or the anxiety can take over, and then that's when it becomes problematic.
Yes, and the other thing is also that children need to be able to feel difficult feelings. It's important that we recognize that there is no such thing as a perfect father.
Absolutely.
There's a good enough father, which is precisely what we need to be. But that good being good enough, we also need to help our children negotiate feelings like anger, envy, jealousy, those things that we need to find the means to both recognize and regulate within ourselves. But in order to get to that point, we need to learn about them. And so we may repeat different kinds of behaviours in different ways or similar ways. And at times, parents may despair about the fact that children may don't seem to be learning from experience in the way that we're parenting them. But children generally are. It's just difficult for us at times to be able to be patient enough to see that learning does involve a great deal of exploration. And the brighter the child in that sense, the possibly the greater the challenge.
Absolutely. And often, as you said, you know, we might not be able to see the learning, you know, and that's part of being patient and kind of thinking, you know, long term as well, because sometimes, you know, a child might be observing and going through an experience, and then that you know, will manifest in later life or you know, we can maybe talk about memories and how memories are so important, that they create these patterns. You know, often you think of something that we do as adults and you think, where did I get this value in me that is, you know, I really appreciate about myself or about other people that I see in my life? And then you think, well, that was nurtured in that person earlier on, you know, by their parent or their grandparents. And the Arabs used to say, you know, in their poetry that, you know, the person is raised in our community upon the values of their parent, and those parents kind of become a template, you know, for them.
Yes,
wonderful,
absolutely.
Discussions going on here. Indeed, I'm very difficult to come in and interrupt you, just saying that we're in the last 3 minutes or 4 minutes of the program, how quickly it goes. And I'm just wondering, how can we leave this today's show with some take-home messages for dads? You mentioned a lot about children being mirrors and to be aware of that, and which made me think that, you know, as parents, wouldn't it be lovely sometimes when things get difficult if they could be just that fly on the wall to look at what's going on and take in the whole view of everything and then reflect on this and see how they could be better, or what did they say and how did they say it and did it come out in the right way, and think about being better as couple, as parents together, or as individual parents, even if they're not in the couple relationship. Similarly with grandparents as well, how grandparents can be there to influence the and help and support, indeed, which is lovely that you brought in that. So in the last 2 or 3 minutes that we have left, have you got any kind of takeaway home messages for our audience?
I think from my perspective, I think in the previous program, I wanted to stress the importance of enjoying the moment, no matter what the challenge is, that often kind of wisdom is sought as, and even kind of people may behave as if they have more wisdom than they have in reality, that we are always learning, and to appreciate the fact that we don't know what to do all of the time. Just try, in that sense, to get past that anxiety and enjoy the moment.
Lovely, that's a lovely message. And Saeed?
I agree with you. I think it's a very joyful experience for the whole family, for parents, grandparents, and it's really important to share that joy and to share in the, you know, appreciating that joy, but also trying to support one another. So it's about offering support to one another. That's really important. And welcoming effort from one another. It doesn't matter how the effort, you know, how small or big it is, but we appreciate it, you know, from both parents. And at the same time, is, you know, communicating with each other effectively is very important, as well as rooting our children in the connection that we have with them, you know, rootedness and connection in the relationship that we have with our children is so important. That will help them develop, you know, as positive human beings. And that Absolutely. Has to come from both.
Absolutely.
And for me, there's a message there that you mentioned about dads like to talk to dads, and maybe it's getting me thinking about do we need to set up a WhatsApp group like the other WhatsApp groups we have, but especially for dads, just dads for dads there, that they can have a platform to talk to each other and discuss things together, and no women at all involved in it. So maybe that's something I will take out of this and discuss with the team. If we could do this, it would be great indeed as a take-home tip for us also. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful program this has been. I really enjoyed being with you both indeed, and I Thank hope you both have
Thank
you. A brilliant Father's Day and that Father's Week, Father's Year. I mean, we can't just, every day is Father's Day, every day is Mother's Day, indeed. This is how we make it, isn't it?
Definitely. Absolutely. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for giving up your time. I can see we can come back together again and have more sessions like this, more programs like this. And I'm sure our listeners will enjoy it and give positive feedback. Listeners, please do get in contact with us and do give us feedbacks and feedback on the session. And if you have any worries or concerns or anything came up from this program, please contact studio at unityfm, or contact us directly, and we can link in your questions or your queries to both of our guests, inshallah. And until next week, have a wonderful week. Look after yourself. Take care of yourself, especially in lockdown time. Enjoy your children. Do wonderful parenting and be super dads, inshallah. Take care of yourselves. Assalamu alaikum.